You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
Apple does some early Christmas shopping in China. From APM in New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary, in for David Brancaccio, with the global perspective on business and economics. And we're going to start this morning with 760 million potential new customers for Apple. That's how many people subscribe to China Mobile, the world's largest mobile phone carrier. The two companies, China Mobile and Apple, struck a deal to sell iPhones to this pool of Chinese customers. Our China Bureau Chief, Rob Schmitz, joins me from Shanghai to talk about it. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Lizzie.
So that's a lot of customers. How many do you think are going to actually be interested in buying an iPhone?
Well, you know, that's the big question. You know, China Mobile will be rolling out the iPhone on its brand new 4G network, and only a fifth of China Mobile's subscribers actually use 3G. That's, you know, still a lot of people, but it's an indication that there may not be as many customers in that huge network of subscribers who are willing to pay for a faster service. I spoke to Sean Ryan about this today. He directs China Market Research Group, and here's what he said.
Frankly, the China Mobile's 3G network has been heavily criticized by users for being slow because they use a homegrown system. So I expect this to boost sales for Apple, but not as much as people think in the short term, because a lot of consumers are going to take a wait-and-see attitude about whether or not 4G is good.
Ryan thinks that Apple may sell 10 million iPhones with China Mobile, which is probably a fraction of what they would have sold had they made this deal a few years ago when the China market wasn't so saturated with competing smartphones like it is now.
Yeah, so that sort of raises the question of what took them so long to actually do this deal.
Well, you know, these are two companies that think very highly of themselves, and they're used to getting what they want. One reason we're seeing this now is because both companies are actually losing market share in China. So in essence, these two companies finally need each other to revive sales.
When you think about it that way, is there potential for a big win here for Apple?
Well, I definitely think so. I mean, even though most of China Mobile's user base may not be ideal iPhone customers at this stage, they could become iPhone customers in the future when they've got more money in their pockets, when China's economy grows more. 760 million subscribers is a huge market to tap into, and it's a nicely timed Christmas present for Apple this year.
Rob Schmitz, our China Bureau Chief, thank you so much.
Thanks, Lizzie.
Now a story about how a Washington budget decision is shaping a local economy. Earlier this month, the Air Force said 18 of its new Joint Strike Fighter jets will be based in Burlington, Vermont. And the community there is divided over whether that's a good thing. And as Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports, both sides are using economic arguments to make their points.
The Joint Strike Fighter jets, or F-35s, will replace aging F-16s at the Vermont Air National Guard Base, which was my first stop in Burlington. Lieutenant Colonel Luke Amon is an F-16 pilot. He shows me around.
We'll show you the life support shop.
Amon explains where the F-16s patrol.
Either in upstate New York over the Adirondacks, and then the White Mountains over New Hampshire, and then northern Maine.
1,100 people work at the base. F-35 supporters say without the new plane, the F-16s here would be retired and everyone who flew or worked on them fired. Frank Coffey is president of the Greater Burlington Industrial Corporation.
This is about retaining 1,100 jobs and the economic benefits that accompany those jobs here.
As Coffey and I are chatting at the Burlington Airport, a fighter jet takes off from the nearby base.
That's an F-16.
Fighter jet noise figures into the economic argument of the F-35's opponents. The federal government decided the noise from the base's F-16s made about 200 houses in South Burlington uninhabitable. Many homeowners were bought out. Now their houses sit vacant, just a block from Carmen Sargent's home. She calls her neighborhood Little Detroit.
Because it's gone into disrepair, home values have declined.
Sargent says property values are down 15% to 20%. F-35 supporters say there's been no change in value. Both sides commissioned studies to support their claims. Sargent wants me to see the abandoned homes. We hop in the car with Chris Hurd, a local realtor who also opposes the F-35s. Sargent is behind the wheel, pointing.
And these are all empty now and boarded up. Do you want to look at any of them?
Sure.
Just as we're getting out of the car, an F-16 takes off. Later, realtor Chris Hurd tells me nobody wants jobs to be lost, but homeowners have a case to make, too.
In terms of pure economics, who should win out here? Part of it is a values question. Part of it is an economic question.
And the questions aren't going away. F-35 opponents have filed several lawsuits challenging the decision to base the F-35s in Vermont. In South Burlington, Vermont, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Last week, the Federal Reserve announced it would begin what's known as the taper, slowing its bond buying program. Well, here's a story about another taper, because I can't help myself. The kind that's spelled T-A-P-I-R. Yes, the largely South American mammal that kind of looks like a cross between a horse and a rhino. A new species of taper has been identified in the rainforests in parts of Brazil and Colombia. It's the smallest species of taper, about 240 pounds, once spotted by Theodore Roosevelt. It is on the risk of extinction from deforestation and development in the Amazon. But between this and the Fed, taper talk isn't going away anytime soon. In New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.